Before we go into the Word of God tonight, I just want to say, glad that you're all here. And God has dealt with me lately to go back to the vision that I had when we first started in the ministry. About the time we came to Donovan, that was 48 years ago, and we've worked here, but God is wanting us to go back to the vision that we had. Take something out to the churches, then they come in here and receive and take it out to their church. Youth camps the same way. The youth come and they get all fired up, and then they go home and they fire the church up. I mean, can you imagine that? And the same way we can do in our ministry. And that's what God has laid upon my heart. And we went back to June because June is what we had before. That we started here, our camp meetings were all in June. And then we got to somebody else had one over here someplace, and someone over here someplace, and there someplace. And we were fellowshipping with them, but they got so many of them that we wasn't any good to them, and they're not any good to us because you can only have so many camp meetings. And invite you, each and every one of you, to come here, and we'll do our best to see that you receive what God wants you to have in the Word, in the Spirit, in the music realm, and everything else. And that's what God is wanting us to do. And so we're going to be back at this same vision that we had. Then we have another camp meeting the second Monday in September. And of course, youth camp week after next. Send your youth. Sponsor a youth. Send them down here. And they'll receive something. They always do. I meet people everywhere I go that's come to youth camp. Guess what? How many ever seen the sign, Jason Smith for representative in Missouri? So, how many knows that? You know, he put it in the paper down here. The thing that he remembered most in Donovan, that he used to spend the youth camp here at Donovan. Now, can you imagine that one? If somebody, I'm going to go buy one of those papers. But I remember him quite well. And his brother came, and I know his father real well, Bill Smith in Salem, Missouri. And so I'll tell you what, God has done a lot here with the youth and with these things that like the church and the churches that's been established from out of here, and we're going to keep it going. So we want to get back, and if you're not on our mailing list, stop by the desk there on the way out, get you a card, fill it out, we'll put you on the mailing list. You'll get a little magazine about every 3 months, and it'll have a sermon in it, and it'll have different things. So I want to go back in First Psalms verse 1. And the thing I want to preach on tonight is godly or ungodly. There's so many messages on that. I've preached several messages on that recently. And we're going to have to start gauging things about, is it godly or is it ungodly? God spoke to me when he first had me start preaching on this. And the words he said to me, I want you to say, what is it? What is it? So I want you to think tonight, what is it? Is it godly or is it ungodly? And Psalms 1 said, verse 1, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, or set in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law of the Lord doth he meditate. How much? Day and night. Let's read that again. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law of the Lord doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaves shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's the key to it right there. Now, I want to go to godly or ungodly. Now, since I've been into this, I've decided, and I already knew this, and you know it too, that anything that's not godly is ungodly. And somebody said, well, it can't be ungodly. And see, people have an inclination, I'll say, to grade sin. This sin and that sin and that sin. The main thing is, are we godly or ungodly? Somebody said, well, how about holiness? Well, holiness is godliness. How about righteousness? Righteousness is godliness. And so if we gauge things godly and we gauge things in the godly realm, then we are deciding whether it's godly or ungodly. Now, I want to think some things right here just a minute. Godly people do good, and evil people do evil. Now, we might be legally correct, yet ungodly. Now, in the hour that we live today, we can be legally correct, and it be ungodly. How many knows that? We can be politically correct, yet ungodly. How many knows that? We can be religiously correct, yet ungodly. We can be a good man, as far as the man is concerned, yet not born again, and then we're ungodly. How many knows if we're not born again, you must be born again. Let's go a little bit further with this. You can be a good church member, yet ungodly. You can attend church regularly, and yet be ungodly. A great leader in the community and still ungodly. A good worker, a good provider, yet ungodly. Now, somebody said it's legal. It's legal for have abortion, but it's ungodly. It's legal for a man to marry a man, and somebody's been on that. Homosexuality, but it's ungodly. All these things are ungodly. Now, godly means having a great reverence for God, godliness walking with God, and obeying God. That's godliness. And so let's take another look. How do we gauge ourselves? How we act decides whether we're godly or not. Remember Adam and Eve in the garden when they sinned, they didn't want fellowship with God anymore. So let's take a look at this. The godly versus ungodliness. The godly can't wait till it's church time. The ungodly can't wait till it's over. Do you have the heebie-jeebies tonight wanting this to get over? That means you're ungodly. Adam and Eve run and hid themselves from the presence of God because now they're ungodly. But let's go a little bit further with light versus darkness and life. They're living in death. And God told Adam, the day that you eat of that tree, ye shall surely die. Well, he eat of the tree and he died. Somebody said, what was it? Died. His spirit died within him. His spirit, that's why you have to be born again. That's why Jesus told Nicodemus, said, you must be born again. See, a person that's not born again is ungodly. They're not godly. See, Adam and Eve, there they were put in the garden there. They had everything they needed. God provided everything for them. He breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and God created them in the image of God, created he them. And see, God is Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. And then you are spirit, soul, and body. You're a triune being yourself. But see, we're talking about godliness and ungodliness. When Adam and Eve eat of that tree in the garden, they became ungodly. So what did they do? Let's look at the next thing. The ungodly run and hide from God. The godly run to meet God. The godly run and hide from God. So that's what they do. They ran and hid themselves, the Bible said, in the tree. You know why we don't have Sunday night services in the church anymore? They've ran and hid from God. You know the reason that we don't have Wednesday night services anymore? Because they run and hid from God. You know the reason that we don't have healings in the church like we used to is because they've run and hid themselves from God. You know the reason that we don't have the power in the church like we used to is because they've ran and hid from God. And it's because of their ungodliness that they've run and hid from God because they committed the sin of disobedience. How many knows the Bible tells us to assemble ourselves all the much more when you see the day approaching? Now, let's look at a little bit more of this. They run and hide from God. The godly speak the truth in love. The ungodly speak evil in secret. I know that none of you have any gossipers in your church. Because they're church people. How many of you pastors don't have one gossiper in your church? How many pastors we got? Raise your hand. Well, look at the pastors we got here. And every one of you have got somebody that speaks evil in secret. You know why? Because they're ungodly. See, godly people speak godliness. And Acts chapter 10, verse 38 said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. You know, there's a secret to it. If we get to a place that we're ungodly, then we got to go back to the altar. We got to repent. Peter said in Acts chapter 3, verse 19, he said, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." See, we don't hide sin from God. God said, "Adam, where art thou?" He knew where he was. "Have you eaten of that tree that I told you not to eat of?" He said, "It was that woman that you gave me." He blamed it on God and he blamed it on the woman. And he asked the woman, said, "Have you eaten of the tree?" She said, "It was the devil that made me do it." I don't know how much you can lay things on to anything, but ungodliness will not stand any place. And that's the way we're going to have to start gauging the church. Is it an ungodly church or is it a godly church? Is the preacher a godly man or is he an ungodly man? You know, when we get leaders in the church, leaders. Oh, we need some leaders. You know, you can preach and still not be a leader. Now, a leader takes you somewhere. They lead you out. They reach in and get a hold of you somewhere, rather in the spiritual realm, and lead you out. Jesus said, "Follow me and I'll make you to become fishers of men." And when we begin to follow the Lord and come to the place that we need to be with God, we will follow. But now listen, first thing when a person gets saved, you heard it right here in this. The first thing when Brother Holt got saved, he was hunting a leader. He came to a revival I had and he picked me for his leader. And I've been his leader for 40 some years. But now let's get something else. Not only is there godly leaders, there's ungodly leaders. How many ever heard of the devil? Huh? So the minute that a person gets saved and becomes a godly creature, there's an ungodly force that begins to try to lead them the other way. How many knows that? So many times that ungodly force begins to lead them the other way, and we don't recognize it till it's too far, and the devil has done got them and destroyed their experience and their godly experience with God and set them up under evil powers to listen to that. How many knows that? Let's look at it this way. The godly speak the truth in love. The ungodly seek evil in secret. Now, what is it that's ungodly? Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, Paul said, "I beseech you there," that means beg, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Be what? Renewed of your mind. What does Paul say in Romans chapter 8, verse 6? "For to be carnally minded is death." Now, I know that if I ask you, everyone has walked into churches and you've walked in presence of people and you felt a spirit of death. And you said, "That church is dead." And you know, you can be a walking dead person, because when Adam and Eve eat of that tree, that's exactly when they died, but it was their spirit, man, that died within them. And from that time on, death got into the family. It was handed down to Cain to kill Abel. He killed his own brother because of jealousy and because he didn't offer the godly sacrifice that God wanted. So he killed his brother because he got the blessing. You see, jealousy is one of the hardest things and the most ungodly thing. It says that jealousy is as cruel as the grave. So you could feel death. So that people are operating in a spirit, a lot of them, in death. They speak death. They talk about death. They recognize death. But what is it dead? When that man committed that ungodly act of disobedience just one time, Now, when God created Adam in Genesis chapter 2, 7, and also in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and reading down, God said, let us create man in our own image. That proves it right there. It said, our. He included the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. He made the man in the image, and the man has a spirit and a soul and a body. We have to keep those three things in us intact and godly, just exactly like God is himself. How many believes God's godly? Well, he made us in his image. Here God had created a man, and this man, he breathed in the nostrils the breath of life. He took the earth and he formed it and fashioned it after himself. Then he breathed in his nostrils the breath of what? Life. And man, all of a sudden, he rises up and looks around, and he's a living soul marching around in the garden. And God had prepared the great garden for him and said, you can have all this, you're in charge of all this, and you can eat everything in this garden, but one thing that you must not do, you must never eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. See, when we're godly, we got charge of things, huh? Ungodly ain't got charge of nothing. Everything's got charge of them. I'll use this man right here, Brother Panky, here for example. I walked up to him about 3 or 4 years ago. He was getting off of drugs. He was getting off this, getting off that. And I walked up to him when I was preaching. I said, you've been faithful over a few things. God's going to make you ruler over many. And I began to tell him what he's going to make him. He became ruler over drugs, didn't he? You became ruler over alcohol. You became ruler over all the vices and all the things. And now you're a ruler. You are walking with God. You have a godly walk, and you should be rulers. You should be able to feast upon the things of God. God, godly. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. People's tried to counsel you ungodly. How many's ever had people to try to give you ungodly counsel? Huh? Well, when you've got ungodly counsel and you don't accept it, you reject that, then God will counsel you. How many knows that it says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 6, to be carnally minded. Now, we're talking about life or death. St. John 1:4 said, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. So darkness and death. But in him was life. Now, if we're in his image, in us is life. I want to have life to give you. The preacher that preached this afternoon, he preached a life-giving message. The other than the preacher this morning preached a life-giving message. These messages are life-giving. They come from God. And if it's from God, it's always, somebody said, is it a good message? It's a masterpiece if it's from the master. It's a mess if it comes from anything else. No matter how good it sounds, no matter how good it tickles the ear, no matter how good it makes you feel, it's not right if it's from who? From the master. So, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of who? The ungodly. So there's ungodly counselors out there. And the only way we can be blessed is we don't listen to them. We don't pay no attention to them. We ignore them. It's ignorance. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8:32. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. What else does he do? He don't stand in the way of the sinner. Did you know lots of church people destroy new converts quicker than anything else? Run to them just as soon as they get saved and start telling them all the bad stuff. Huh? That person is an ungodly person. We're supposed to tell them good stuff. We're supposed to counsel them. Godly counsel. Huh? We're supposed to bless them. The blessed is that man. If he doesn't walk in the counsel ungodly. You know, when I first got saved, it's been a long time ago, about 56 years ago. Or a little longer. When I first got saved, I had all kinds of people at my door trying to get me to go to their church. That's a strange thing. They never did come by before I got saved. Now I'm saved, and I'm seeking godly counsel, and here comes some ungodly people to tell me how bad that church over there is. You don't want to go about that one. And that one ain't right. and that one ain't right. I want to tell you, when we're saved and we're born again, we ought to be able to tell what's right and what's wrong. We ought to be able to resist the devil. The Bible said, submit yourselves therefore unto God, James said, and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We got to get back to the place where we protect our newly convert. They just born again, nobody pays no attention to more, and after a while the devil slaughters them again. But blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, or stand the way of the sinner. The next thing he said is, set it in the seat of the scornful. Do you know any folks that sits in the seat of the scornful? They'll sit in the church and say, I didn't like that. I didn't like that man's preaching. Well, maybe somebody else did. I didn't like them folks that's singing. I didn't like this and I didn't like that. Well, if you don't like it, just shut up. Be still. Be quiet. So godliness, let's go back to this here again. Psalms 1, I want to get back to that. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel ungodly, standeth in the way of the sinner, or set in the seat of the scornful. Now, his delight is in what? How many are delighted in this? You got to get delighted. Brother Mars preached last night, you got to get motivated. Come on. Listen to it. His delight is in what? The law of the Lord, and in the law of the Lord doth he what? Meditate. How much? That's the godly. Now, what is it that's death? We're talking about death. There's a death thing that's gripping the world. Religiously, some of it. Look at the Muslims. They've rose up to kill. Jesus said, here's how you identify them. In John 10:10, he said, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. How many got that? But he said, I am come. So his way is I am come that you might have what? Life, and that you might have it more abundant. If it's not something that gives you life, leave it alone. If it's something that troubles you, leave it alone. If it's something that somebody's peddling that comes against it to destroy you, leave that thing alone and begin to meditate in the law of the Lord. Hallelujah, day and night. Come on, can you say amen? Think about God. Change your way of living, and it'll change others' way of living. So, Romans 8:6 said, to be carnally minded is, let's say is, not might be, it is dead. And most people today are operating on a carnal mind. Like the two preachers that's mentioned it since we've been here. The big preacher said, a pastor of a big church in St. Louis charging people $35 entry fee to see him. And they asked him a question and said, do you think that homosexuals will be in heaven? He said, oh yeah, I think there'll be some homosexuals in heaven. Leave that man alone. Don't even turn your radio on to listen to him, because he'll destroy you. There's destroyers out there to kill the sheep. Amen. But there's shepherds to protect the sheep. God wants us to raise up some shepherds and some people that will go out and fight with the devil, like David did when he took the sling and killed the giant. Come on, can you say amen? We need some shepherds today. Now we need some leaders today. Leaders will take you somewhere. Sometimes preachers, they'll just preach you happy and say, I hope you make it till next Sunday. I'm going to go play some golf this week. Huh? Come on. To be carnally minded is what? Is death. We've got to keep this right here alive. We've got to keep the life in our spirit, man. Not let it die. See what happened the day that you eat of that tree, he said, ye shall surely die. Death came in to his spirit. That's why you have to be born again. Now let's take a look at it and see if you're born again, that's your spirit, man, that's born again. Nicodemus said, well, how can a man be born again when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born again? And Jesus said, you're not understanding this. He said, except you be born of the water and the spirit, you can't what? You can't enter the kingdom of God. But except you be born again, he started out with, you cannot what? You can't see. Blind and can't see. Except you be born again. If you're not born again, you can't see. He was telling Nicodemus that. Now, so what is that born again where you can see? What is it to see? The kingdom of God. Well, what is the kingdom of God? Romans 14:17, it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Where is it at? Know you not that the kingdom of God is within you? What do we seek first? Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. The point is, do you want to be godly or ungodly? If you disobey God and his word, you're ungodly. If you allow your mind to get carnal, it's ungodly because it's death. Ungodliness simply means death. The day that you eat of that tree, you shall surely die. God gave the command. He expected man to keep it. And there Adam was, and he had everything. Everything that God wanted him to have. He was a godly creature, walking around the garden, naming this animal and that animal, eating whatever he wanted to eat. It's all prepared for you. It's all yours, Adam. But stay away from that and over there. He's kind of like a little bit like folks are. You preach something to them, and some of them, you know, they'll do it in spite of everything. You preach it, they're going to see that they're going to do it. How many knows but there's people that way? They will try it. And you know what they wind up? They wind up dead. Their spirit's dead then. You know, there's preachers trying to preach without a spirit of life. Huh? There's preachers trying to preach to others that's got a carnal mind. Did you know there's preachers that's trying to preach to others that indulge everything in the world in their flesh? They drink, they commit adultery, they lust, and they get up and they make a pretty good, they've got it down pretty pat where people can't tell it except the Spirit. Huh? And the Spirit is what has to draw us. No man can come to God except the Spirit draw. So they've kind of done away with the old time salvation where you come to an altar and you pray through and you get to the place where you become a godly creature. So just come and sign the book. Carnal minded, dead on arrival, walking around dead. Leaders, you know, we got a lot of preachers here tonight, so we'll talk to leaders. I deal with leaders. Some of them are carnal, some of them are spiritual. Some of them are godly, and some of them are ungodly. But what God is trying to do is raise up a godly group of people that'll obey the voice of God and get out of the spirit of disobedience. So Romans 8:6 said to be carnally minded is what? Death, but to be spiritually minded is what? Let's say it's life. Well, how do you get to be spiritually minded? It tells you it's right here. Turn your Bible to Psalms 1:1 again. How do you get to be that spiritual minded? How is a person born again? It's his spirit man that's born again. His flesh don't change. The DNA don't change if he's born again. Here's how that we become spiritually minded. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, or stand in the way of the sinners, or setteth in the seat of the scornful. Now, here's his spiritual mind. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. See, Adam's delight wasn't in the law of the Lord anymore because he didn't want God to even see him. Huh? And you know, they knew they were naked, and so they got them together. I'll just throw this in. And for some aprons, you know, made aprons. And God come along and said, aprons are not good enough. You're going to have to kill the animal, put the whole thing on. You got to cover yourself. I'll not go any further with that. I think you all know where I'm at. Person needs to be covered. Are you listening to me? Need to be covered. The aprons out of the leaves, that won't work. Somebody said, well, I'm going to dress like I want to. Well, go right ahead. I ain't telling you how to dress. I'm telling you how God wants you to dress. Huh? He wants us to dress modestly. Now, you see, otherwise we got a carnal mind that's lusting after. Huh? Come on. Let's go back here. I'm about to mess this up. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law of the Lord doth he meditate how much? Day and night. Don't let your mind get off on something else. Don't let your mind get off on somebody else. Don't let your mind get running in a carnal rut. Keep your mind on Jesus. Huh? I don't usually mention some of these things I'm mentioning tonight, but I think it's pretty good. The Bible mentions it. And he shall be like a tree, this man, planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You know, they've got all kinds of methods that makes you prosper. I'll tell you what'll make us prosper: to live for God and be godly, spiritually minded instead of carnally minded, meditating on the law of the Lord day and night, helping people out that's got problems, sit down and talk with them. They got a problem if they'll talk with you. And then he comes on down to the next three verses and he covers the ungodly. The ungodly are not so. The ungodly are not blessed with this thing up here. The ungodly counsel has drove them away and made them ungodly, and they're standing in the way of the sinner. They're sitting in the seat of the scornful. Their delight is not in the law of the Lord. No, and they've got a carnal mind and all, and it's just an ungodly situation. I want to get this over to you. You know why I'm preaching this? Because I love you. A preacher won't preach you the truth, don't love you. Huh? If he won't preach there's something that you need to get straightened out in your life, he does not love you. And you know, we've got all kinds of preachers anymore that'll just team up with anything, turn any direction, do anything the congregation wants them. Now, it's interesting to know this, that the congregation is not supposed to lead the pastor. The pastor is supposed to lead the congregation. Then if there's overseers in an organization or something like that, the overseer is supposed to lead them too, the overseer. Somebody said, you know, I had one fellow, some of them, two or three of them, you know, call me their pastor. And I'm glad to be the pastor of any ministers that wants me to be their pastor, and I'll help you any way I can. But if I'm the pastor and I'm over Bible way here, you're not supposed to send your tithes to Baton Rouge, huh? How many knows the tithes should come the Bible way? Boy, I'm all wound up tonight. I'd really like to get into some things. Well, you're my pastor. And then send their tithes off down to somebody some way off somewhere else that they don't even know. Just because he got on television and said, and I'm not against any of these preachers, but I don't think that they ought to reap where they didn't sow. Huh? A lot of people want to reap where they didn't sow anything. How many knows that? They'll wait till you get an organization built or a church built. Some of you pastors are acquainted with this thing. Let's put it that way. When you get through your church built and we get the association built, then people come in and say, send me $100 a month. Well, why? They didn't sow nothing there. How many knows who done the sowing around here? Huh? Me and the helpers that I had. I look back today, and I got to looking around here, and I got to thinking, they got to talking about the dining hall and the trusses that's in there and strengthening them and everything. And I thought, boy, when this dining hall roof was built, I was young enough to where I was hammering them up there myself. I laid them out. Got me some men to help me put them up there. Huh? I got to looking over there at the dorm. And I got to thinking about Bill Miller. And he brought a crew down here and spent a whole week building that youth dorm. He sold. Are you listening to me? These people want to come in and have you send. I don't know why I'm on this, but I guess it's all right. You can, if you don't like it, you can stand and rebuke me. Huh? It's dishonest. It's ungodly to do things like that. Because I've got a right to reap in the Bible way. Huh? But I don't have no right to go over in some other man's organization and tell them send this money over here to Bible way or send it to me. If they do it on their own, that's up to them. But to initiate something like this, that's dishonest, in my opinion. And I think it's God's opinion. So everybody that comes by your church, you don't say to them, help yourself. Did you know Bible West Association's been robbed out of hundreds of thousands of dollars? I figured it out. Just for people, and some of it was missionary work that they claimed they were doing that wasn't even doing. We sent finally one of our missionaries over to Africa to see what was doing. And this fellow had him a TV and wasn't even having church and collecting $500 a month. Sending a letter over here once a year or half every two or three months saying, here's the picture of the church. Well, yeah, the picture of the church, but the church was closed. And when the man went over there to get him, he was watching TV, and his wife was doing the work, the school teacher. How many believe that's honest? We're not supposed to gather where we didn't sow. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. That which a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I got to get off of this. But we're going to have to do some things different, church. We got to turn this thing around. Amen. Some truck driver wrote a song, said, give me 40 acres and I'll turn this truck around. I was thinking about that the other day. It ain't going to take 40 acres for us to turn things around. All we got to do is just turn around and go the other way. Can you say amen? God wants us to get down to business and once again get this thing on the ground. We got to get back on the foundation. We got to get off of this junk. Get off of the junk that's going on television. Close it down. Go to church, back the pastor. If the church is not doing well, get down and do what Brother Ripley said today. Huh? If my people that are called by my name shall humble themselves and what? And pray and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin. Can you say amen? If we just humble ourselves and pray. Huh? You know, you got to be careful where you put your money. God won't bless you. And you know what God spoke to me? See, we're going back to this vision that we had to start with, and everything was working real good until this New Age movement come in. And got people so confused they don't know who they are. Now, a confused person is not very godly. You know why? Because James said, where confusion is, huh? There's what? Say that again. Where envy and strife is, there is what? So confusion is caused from envy and strife. Where confusion is, there's envy and strife. And where envy and strife is, there's what? Ever evil work. The preachers are running off with the piano player, and the secretaries and the treasurers are dipping into the money in the church, and they're doing this and they're doing that. And somebody said, I don't know what to do about it. I know what to do about it. Fire them. I've been criticized for stuff like that, but when I catch somebody doing wrong, I'm going to act on it. Can you say amen? When they're doing something wrong, they need corrected. They don't need to say, well, we'll put up with it this time. They got to repent. They got to change their way. I know this ain't the message that probably everybody come to hear, but I want to tell you one thing. It's the message that will bring us out, and I'm not talking. If your church is attached to Bible Way, you need to support Bible Way. If your congregation is attached to your church, they need to support you instead of somebody down somewhere else in Texas. Huh? Said, why, sure. They come through by the scores and say, I've got this work down there and I've got this down there. Well, what did they sow in the church? We're supposed to reap what we sow. And why can't they build a church their own self? Huh? Some of you preachers sitting here right here tonight have told me, since you got your church is successful and it's doing real well, you've got all kinds of people that want to visit your congregation. Huh? Man's his spirit, soul, and body. And let's go on down here to verse 4 again. And the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Now, I want to get on that just a little bit. And some of you are old enough to remember this. You remember when the sinners absolutely could not stand in the congregation of the righteous. They either come into church and the power of God was so strong, they either went out the back door or come to the altar. When you get the power of God moving in the church, that's the way it's going to be. They'll not be able to sit with the congregation of the righteous. Because the power of God is going to reach back and get them. Get back and get them. You know, if we just learn how to obey God and hear what the Spirit has to say. There's so many things that I've seen happen. You see, 55 years in the ministry, you see a lot of things. And the ministry that I have is going all over the country preaching revivals. And nearly every town down through in here, I've preached revivals. And people's been saved and filled with the Holy Ghost and healed and delivered and all kinds of things. People come up and tell me these things all the time. But here's the thing that God wants us to do. He wants us to get back where we have this power. Huh? The power has to be back in the church. The power. You know, not just preach, but we got to have the power. So the ungodly are not so. They can't gather with the righteous. The sinner can't. He has to go one way or the other. He'll either go out, but if he went out under conviction, he'll be back because it'll draw him. No man can come to God except the Spirit draw him. But if he went to the altar, we know what'll happen. I've seen the power move, you know, not where we're laying hands on people and all those kind of things, but I've seen so many things. We was having a good song service in St. Louis when I first started in the ministry. We had a big church building there, bigger than this building here. So it would seat 400 and something downstairs and 600 upstairs. It was a Presbyterian church, had been, and we rented it. And one night, we was up in the upper floor there. We was singing songs, and God was a-moving. People were weeping and crying. And all of a sudden, I looked back there in the back door, and I seen a man crawling over on the steps there to get into that part of the floor on the upper part. And he crawled down the aisle, and he came up to the altar. And when he came up to the altar, we prayed for him, and he fell over backwards. And when he fell over backwards, a switchblade pocket knife fell out of his pocket. When the switchblade pocket knife fell out of his pocket, somebody picked it up. And this man was so drunk that he just barely had to crawl to get up there. And when we got done praying with this man, he was sober, right? He was saved. And he got up and he took his switchblade pocket knife, closed it up, put it back in his pocket. And he said, you know, when we was passing by here, he said, my mind went back to Arkansas. I said, I'm a truck driver and I've been down here at these bars down the street here. And said, I'm coming by here, and I could hear them good old songs that I used to hear in the brush arbors back down in Arkansas. And he said, when I got here, he said, I just had to get up. And I climbed up those steps, said I barely could make it. But when he stood up, he was sober as he could be. He was saved. You know, we need some stuff like that in church again. It proves things to people. You know, we don't see too much proof of the thing in the church anymore. So I'll end with this. Is it godly or ungodly? When somebody tries to tell you, get told you off into something and get you mixed up, you make this choice. Is it godly or is it ungodly? Somebody said, well, he's a good man. He goes to church. He pays his tithes. He's a member of the church. But is he godly? How's his home life? Or is he ungodly? Where are we at today? How many believes our nation's godly? It's mixed up. You know what was the matter with that tree that Adam and Eve eat up? It had two kinds of fruit on it. The knowledge of good and the knowledge of evil. And God said, I don't want you to be mixed up. I don't want you to be double-minded. To be double-minded, huh? I don't want you to be double-minded. I want you to hear what I've got to say. I want to fellowship with you. I want you to eat everything in this garden. I want you to take care. You're in charge. But he chose the route to ungodliness. He chose to go the other way and disobey God. And I want to read the rest of this. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall what? Perish. How many knows what perish means? Godly is a life having God's nature, authority, power, and God's mind and spirit and the word. It's a divine acting upon God's ways. The devil's is the ungodly, is sinful, a liar, a thief, John 10:10, killer, not recovering, not receiving God. What brings us to be godly? Washed with the water by the word, and we could just go on and on and on and on and on here tonight. But I think we've got the picture of it. Here's what I want to leave you with tonight. When you look at something, is it godly or is it ungodly? Some of the music that they play in churches anymore, is it godly or is it ungodly? Some of the things they do in the church, is it godly or ungodly? Ask yourself, is it? Ask yourself. Don't ask somebody else. Ask yourself, what do I think of this? If you're meditating in the law of the Lord day and night, we'll find out how to think.